I'm Steve Potter, and coming up later on Cityscape, Elsie Parker and her group, The Poor People of Paris, and the music of Edith Piaf. The St. Louis Symphony opens its 136th season this weekend, which runs through May the 8th, and music director David Robertson joins us for a look ahead. Hi, David.
Hi. Don't rub it in about the age. You know, I mean, we really don't look over 100.
No, not at all. Hey, how was your summer? You know, I can't believe it, but it's about over.
That's it. That's how these things work. We had a great summer. I was in Australia for a little bit, and then came back to Santa Fe, where I was conducting Strauss's opera Salome all summer. And so we got to chop off Johannan's head 7 times, each time a success. and then we were also up in Aspen, and my wife Orly was playing in Orcas Island at a chamber music festival out there. So I was Mr. Mom, taking care of the kids and kayaking with them and doing all that sort of
stuff.
That's
good for you.
So it was a really good time.
Will Orly be back with the symphony this year?
She will, actually. She'll be back in November. And of course, I won't be in St. Louis when she's here.
Is that by design?
Somebody has to take care of the kids, So
Mr. Mom.
That's it.
Hey, you just conducted also recently in Forest Park.
That's right. We had a fabulous, fabulous night. It was absolutely magical. You know, at one point I had to say, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, could you all just look at the moon, because it was so beautiful. It was like a Caspar David Friedrich painting. It was as though Art Hill had said, well, it's Art Hill, we've got to live up to our reputation. But the orchestra was just amazing, and the atmosphere was great. I love dogs in concerts. Dogs and babies in concerts are just great.
You're kidding, right?
I'm not. We can't really bring them into Powell Hall that often, although we do have a number of family concerts where they are quite welcome. Not the dogs, but
I was going to say.
Well, Milo comes in, you know. He's
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this will be the 6th season for the live St. Louis Public Radio Saturday Night Symphony broadcast.
Yes.
So we're excited about that.
We are very excited about that. You know, it's always great to be able to come up and speak in the intermission of the broadcast, but it's also really nice, you know, with the time zone, it works out perfectly when I'm in Australia. The Sunday, it's my free day. I get up and I have a nice brunch, and then I come back to the place that I stay, and I, you know, power up the computer and I listen on the internet with very high fidelity to the Saturday night broadcast.
You're not the only one, as far as I know.
It's perfect, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Well, tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon opens your season with you at the podium.
Mm-hmm.
And violinist Joshua Bell.
Yes.
Who's been here before.
An old friend. And in fact, his oldest boy and my boys are in the same school class.
Oh, really?
Yes. So we get to see them all the time. So it's very funny.
Well, what's on the program?
We're kicking off a season where music tells the stories. And the idea is that there's so many ways that music has of expressing things, some of which are really concrete, like a story, as in the opening works we've got. The Czech composer Leoš Janáček wrote a work based on Gogol's story about a Cossack warrior, Taras Bulba. And he tells this story in the 3 movements. And then the Hungarian composer Zoltán Kodály wrote a piece about this fabulous soldier who does all of these great things. It's just that he doesn't really exist. You know, he's the sort of folk hero that's created, and his name is Hári János. And so the Hári János Suite is a work that celebrates the magnificent accomplishments of this single soldier who single-handedly defeats the entire French army of Napoleon and sends Napoleon packing, that sort of thing. And it's absolutely amazing music in the way that it can conjure up all of these different spaces, whether it's a Viennese musical clock or, you know, a whole sort of folk dance atmosphere, or the emperor bringing his whole court into Imperial Vienna. All of those sorts of things are part of it. And then Joshua Bell joins us to play the Lalo Sinfonía Española, which is a violin concerto, but it's not your traditional 3 movements, fast, slow, fast. It's in 5 different movements. And the way the movements work, it actually feels almost as though it's like the opera Carmen, but we don't know what the story is. Mm. And so this is kind of the portal into the whole season, where there are times where the music is very specifically about a story, as when we do Peter and the Wolf. And then there are times when it's more generally about the story of our emotions. And each audience member has a way of being able to, in a sense, create their own narrative, their own dramatic persona within the context of the works.
Any symphony members that are going to be highlighted?
Oh, we have a number. We were so excited with the 50 soloists last season. And this season, I was only able to get in about 7. So we have the viol player Katie Mattis. Next weekend, we have Daniel Lee and Beth Guterman Chu, who are co-soloists in Don Quixote of Richard Strauss, telling the story of The Night of the Sad Demeanor from Spain. And then we also have wonderful U.S. premiere of a new work by Tan Dunn, which we were co-commissioners of, called The Wolf, which is in the concert with Peter and the Wolf. And it's a concerto for bass, contrabass, and orchestra. And that will be with Eric Harris, our principal bass player. And then a few years ago, you might remember, our concertmaster David Halen played one of the absolute pinnacles of the violin repertoire, which was the Brahms Violin Concerto. And that was such an amazing success that this year we thought, why not have him do one of those other great mountain peaks, the Beethoven Violin Concerto. So there's a lot of us, you know, who are all in there. And then, of course, we also have a new timpanist in the orchestra, and his name is Shannon Wood. And we have an absolutely spectacular work that he plays. Usually you see a timpanist, if they're really lucky, they have five drums. He is completely surrounded by drums on two different levels, all of these timpani, in a concerto by the Los Angeles composer William Kraft, who was for a long time the timpani player of the Los Angeles Philharmonic and a marvelous, marvelous man and composer. And this timpani concerto, actually, you insert Shannon into his timpani, almost as though you're putting John Glenn into that first Gemini capsule. You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of room to move around in it, but man, does he ever make amazing music.
We're talking with David Robertson, the music director of the St. Louis Symphony, about their new season, which begins tonight. Let's talk about Live at Pell Hall. Now, you'll be conducting the music of John Williams in December.
Yes. We could probably have someone else conduct it, but I would make sure to put something in their food so that they got sick.
So this is important to you.
It's one of my favorite concerts to do. I love John's music, and I love John as a person. He's such a great...
People would know his work from the movies.
All of the movies. It's impossible to imagine movies since about 1970 without the music that he's written. Even if it's not his music, there are now so many people who strive for that kind of incredible sound that he really brought back into the music of films and, for that matter, television as well.
What are a couple of the themes you like?
Oh, you know, I'm not supposed to really say many of them away, but I think a certain Star Wars will probably be on the menu, as well as we'll have some Raiders of the Lost Ark. In fact, we do perform the actual films sometimes with the soundtrack. And this season, I'm very pleased that we're going to perform the complete E.T. with the score that he wrote for that. And it's such an amazing experience because E.T. is one of the pieces where he was writing the music, obviously, very quickly, because the music comes at the very end of a film. And they wanted to get it out and edited. And he played the music to Steven Spielberg for the chase scene. And it didn't quite fit. And he said, you know, I'm worried that I'm not going to have that much time to change it around. What would you like me to do? And he said, John, the music is so great, I'll recut the film to fit the music. And this is the sort of kind of just energy and importance that the John Williams scores have. And we are able to then explore, I don't know, the music from as many as 12 or 15 different films in one evening.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, New Year's Eve, of course, is coming up. We're going to broadcast that on St. Louis Public Radio December 31st.
That's right.
What can you tell me about that?
That it's a surprise, like every year. I don't say anything other than it's going to be a lot of fun for everybody, and it's one of my favorite moments. It's kind of open mic night at the St. Louis Symphony.
Well, you may be tight-lipped about that, but how about there's going to be three Friday nights, one in November, one in January, and one in April, of music you know.
Yes.
And I know you like to do that too.
I enjoy doing that because the atmosphere is, people often think of the atmosphere at a symphony concert as being stuffy, and it's not. There may be stuffy people there. As far as I know, we don't have any stuffed people unless someone brings along their stuffed teddy bear. But the sense of music you know is that there's so many works of the classical repertoire that have become so well-known in popular culture through films or through commercials or through television usage. And these works are often not – people aren't aware of what they are. So one of the great things of the concert hall is coming in and having that aha moment of saying, oh, I didn't know that that was the title of that piece. But it also gives us a chance to really, you know, look at the fantastic repertoire that's out there. I kind of describe it as a meal of tapas, where each one of the things, because none of the pieces on the concert are very long, and this has meant that they tend not to go into the steakhouse menu, where you've got your appetizer, you've got your main, and you've got a luscious dessert, and that's great. But there are times when actually you'd love to have six or seven different little things that all are just exquisite in their taste.
David, there's so much in your season that I know I can't get to everything, but I've got a few things I really want to ask you about. In February, March, you sort of tip your hat to the Bard.
Yes, indeed. We have a Shakespeare Festival coming up. It's his 400th anniversary, and we are combining with the actual Shakespeare Festival of St. Louis to produce a number of our programs. We have two versions of Romeo and Juliet, one by Berlioz and one by Prokofiev. We have music from The Tempest that Sibelius wrote. We also have The Midsummer Night's Dream in a sort of complete musical production with actor and or actress in this case, chorus and orchestra that Mendelssohn wrote based on Shakespeare's play. So there's all sorts of stuff that we're doing around Shakespeare. And, of course, that also fits with this whole idea of how music tells stories.
And you'll also be performing some classical works that are based on some great children's stories.
Yeah, there are a lot of works, you know, like Cinderella, Peter and the Wolf is one. There are so many different things. The Fairy Tale, The Snow Maiden, Mother Goose from Ravel, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, Hansel and Gretel of Humperdinck. There are all of these different things. And in fact, we sometimes tie this in even to the classical programs, the Ravel Mother Goose is on a program with a piece by the relatively recently deceased Canadian composer Claude Vivier, which is like a letter to an orphan. He grew up as an orphan. And one of the main things that an orphan has to struggle with is, why am I here and by myself? Didn't anyone love me? And so he essentially writes this love letter to an orphan. And we have that on the program, and that has this beautiful vocalist, Susanna Phillips, singing that. And then she comes back and sings Gustav Mahler's wonderful final movement from the Fourth Symphony, which we play in its entirety, where in fact we get the child's version of heaven. So there are these ways of looking at the world through different stories and through different points of view that are there the whole season.
Well, looking ahead to the whole season, how about any vocalists or soloists you're particularly excited about?
Well, I mentioned Susanna, but we've kind of won the World Series in terms of having, I think, four of the world's best sopranos. Next weekend, we have Carita Mattila coming in, and she has blown audiences away here. She's just amazing. Then after that, Christina Gerke comes in. She is just amazing in the Strauss-Wagner repertoire, and she sings Strauss's four last songs. And then, of course, our own local talent, world-class, Christine Brewer is coming in, and she'll close out the season with us when we do The Planets, and she'll sing these wonderfully miraculous mystery kind of little songs of Berg based on picture postcards of Peter Altenberger.
How about any premieres this season? And I know the answer's got to be yes.
Yes. I mean, we have St. Louis premieres, we have national premieres, and then also some world premieres. One of the pieces I'm looking forward to especially is the St. Louis premiere of John Adams' new violin concerto, Scheherazade Point 2. And the Point 2 is that we know musically Scheherazade first through Rimsky-Korsakov and his telling of the Thousand and One Nights. But this violin concerto uses Lila Josefovitz as almost an updated version of the violin solo that we hear in representing Scheherazade in Rimsky-Korsakov's work, and it takes it and puts the female in a modern context. So there are many stories that she tells, and it's told with extraordinary passion and verve. So that's one of the things. The other, which is I believe is a St. Louis premiere and has visual elements, is a fabulous work based on the national parks of Zion, Bryce, and Cedar Breaks in the southern part of Utah. And this was a piece written for the Bicentennial of the United States by Olivier Messiaen, the French composer, called From the Canyons to the Stars. And I've done this work in a number of different countries, in Europe, even in the States, and quite often, having spent a lot of my childhood vacationing in these parts of the United States, I'm feeling at a loss for how to describe the visual splendor of the place. It is a majesty that is perfectly captured in the music, and yet I often feel that it would help people, it would help the musicians playing and the audience to really feel what that majesty is and to get a sense of it. So working together with the visual artist, Deborah O'Grady, through videos and pictures. We have this complete evening where the entire work is conjured up not only in music but in amazing visuals.
I think it's been a couple of years, but in January, the symphony and you are back in California.
That's right. By popular demand, Californians seem to like us. And in fact, you know, every time we go there, they always say, can you move here? But, you know, we all have
You're not considering that, are you?
No. Right. I mean, I'm from California, so I've already had my dose. And the people complain about the traffic in St. Louis, but you ought to see some of the freeways.
Oh, I know.
But it's a fabulous thing to go back there because there's really a wonderful sense of just how special the orchestra is. And it's nice to be able to take the St. Louis brand out on the road.
Hey, I hear the Pulitzer is back open.
Yes, and we are looking forward to going back in there with lots of wonderful programs. And those will be announced a little bit later, both on our website and on the Pulitzer's website.
Well, and finally, David, I know the symphony has always thought that education programs and community partnerships are very important, and I know you continue to do that.
Yeah, we have our partnerships with the Seidman Cancer Center, with various different places of worship, with various retirement communities, and the parks and landmark series around, working again with the zoo, and just, you know, working with schools in a way that makes people realize just how empowering music can be for people.
I want to let our listeners know that we've talked about a lot today, but it's sort of just the tip of the iceberg.
That's right. And we have a new app that you can download so you can look at your phone at all of those times when you can't think of anything else to do and figure out what we're doing.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
We'll go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape and we'll have a link to all of that and everything about tickets and more detailed description of your season, which starts tonight. Let's remind people that David Robertson conducts the St. Louis Symphony with violinist Joshua Bell tonight at 8 p.m., tomorrow evening at 8:30, then Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and that's at Powell Hall. And go to our website for more information. Anything that I didn't mention that you want to throw in there?
No, I think there's lots to do, and we hope to see everybody come many times.
Well, David Robertson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Coming up next on Cityscape, L.C. Parker and the Poor People of Paris. This is St. Louis Public Radio.